whether the defendant compelled the alleged victim to participate or submit to some sort of sexual activity through the use of force, violence or force, maybe a firearm, a knife, or just physical force, whether the assault, unlawful restraint, something of that nature. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Better Call Clay podcast. Today on this episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, those types of crimes. Now, we're not going to focus so much on the crime as we are on one of the issues related to those crimes, which is going to be the issue of consent. First of all, when can a person consent to sex? Well, they can consent to sex when they're at least 17 years of age or older. More importantly, laws have been changed slightly, and there's some wording in there that deals with whether a person is intoxicated or incapacitated at the time and whether they can give consent because of their possible intoxication or incapacitation. This comes up in the instance of what we would call date rape, if you will. Two college kids go to a party. There's lots of drinking involved. Never was sex really discussed earlier in the evening, but later in the evening, one person, whether it be, whatever the situation, boy, you know, two men, two women, a man and a woman, vice versa. The sex was never discussed that evening prior to the party. Many drinks were had, possibly drugs were taken. Now we have one person who has not quite lost the use of their mental and physical faculties, whereas the other person has. That person more than likely lacks the ability to consent. So any sex that happens in that situation could very well be non-consensual. We also have situations where not only the age, right, but and not only the intoxication or the incapacitation, an issue for consent is whether the defendant compelled the, and we're going to use the word defendant and victim here, right? Because that's usually the context it's in a criminal justice scenario, whether the defendant compelled the alleged victim to participate or submit to some sort of sexual activity through the use of force, violence or force, maybe a firearm, a knife, or just physical force, whether the assault, unlawful restraint, something of that nature. Now, doesn't mean that physical force has to be used in order to, compel somebody to engage in sexual activity and have a lack of consent. Even when no physical force is used, sometimes there are situations where the defendant is going to compel the alleged victim through the use of either threats of violence or even threats of violence to another party. So, for instance, I'm going to harm your children if you don't engage in this sexual activity. Works just the same as in I'm going to harm you if you don't engage in this sexual activity. There's also situations where, coercion and things like that come into play. Those are going to be typically more difficult for law enforcement to prove, but those are places where we see that. I did talk about earlier the drug issue. Now, that's one area where consent is an issue because either one, the person is not able to physically speak their mind regarding the issue, not able to give their consent or say no. But there's also a physical component there in that the person's not even physically able to A, participate in the sexual activity, or B, perhaps use some gesture to suggest this is unwanted sexual activity. So you find some trouble there as well. We also look at now, and sort of the as this thing evolves, a more modern age look at it is we look at a power or control situation. So for instance, if one party is in a much inferior position to the other in terms of power or control, that could be something that affects the ability to consent. That's going to be a much harder scenario for law enforcement to deal with. They're not going to have such a clear-cut case of consent. Also, too, it's going to bring up the question of, is this what we might refer to kind of callously as buyer's remorse? Did this sexual activity occur with consent? But later on, as the alleged victim thought about it, did they sort of talk themselves into the idea that they didn't consent? And does it then implicate the defendant through one of these other less forceful means of, sexual consent, if you will? Did the victim engage in a sexual activity willingly, but then later change their mind, and now the relationship between the defendant and the alleged victim is such that it makes it look like maybe there was some threat of force or coercion or one of these other situations that occurred? Those are all probably the hardest parts about these cases, is determining whether consent was given. Now, of course, we don't tell people, well, you should go and you should get a written consent from everybody you engage in sexual activity with. You should check an ID. You should have them sign, almost write a contract up, if you will. We're not recommending that. But what we are recommending is that you'd be very careful, especially in the college years, high school and college years, attending parties, that you'd be very careful about the use of drugs and alcohol whenever sex is going to be something that might occur, especially in a dating situation. Certainly, we don't ever recommend anybody engage in any kind of force or coercion to gain somebody's consent or participation in sexual activity, obviously, because that's highly illegal. But what we do say is if you found yourself accused, and maybe falsely accused, and you need some help with your case, we're definitely here to help. That's what we do. Give us a call at the law office, 281-248-2111. We'd be happy to assess your case. We'd be happy to get on your case and defend you, certainly in situations where there's been false accusations or where the issue is consent. When you find yourself on the wrong side of an indictment, it's a scary place to be, and you need a good lawyer on your side. So we remind you, you better call Clay.